Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sansone is like the worst anxiety attack until you get to your spot.
Boy, we went through that traffic the other day when we were driving out to Tongi, bro. Like, and
that was probably
like,
part of it.
It was about 5 o'clock, so it wasn't heavy quite yet, but it was starting to get there. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Does anything give you anxiety as much as traffic? Like, I'm one of these people that
elevators.
I hate being late. Okay, and I hate to be in a rush. I'm always early. And when you get stuck in that traffic and you can't control it, like the anxiety just elevators give you it, huh?
Yeah. I had this conversation with Mackenzie Nelson once at 41 Action News. I don't think that's what it's called, KSHB 41 News. And they have an elevator. She's like, yeah, it's kind of janky. I was like, I'll do the stairs. I have not ridden the elevator in this building for probably 5 years.
Oh, I don't go in the elevator here.
Absolutely not. I've seen the movie Speed. I know how it starts. I know how it ends, and I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't think I've been, quite honestly, Dusty, in this elevator since COVID.
I haven't. I've not stepped foot in there since 2019.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like before COVID.
The only time I stepped foot in there before that was because I had a bunch of equipment coming back from St. Joe with Binkley when we were doing shows out there. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going up those stairs that already kick my ass every morning with a 20-pound briefcase and another 20-pound briefcase of headsets. But
no, driving and traffic and all of that stuff, like with the situations you can't control, it gives you, you know, that anxiety that is just brutal to deal with. How do we get on that topic?
I don't know. But here it is, 96.5 The Fan. It's Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to the only spot you need to listen to when it comes to sports and entertainment. Here is your station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. Who would have thought that flag football would get people all heated into a hogwash conversation?
My God, dude, don't know. Back down a little bit, bro.
Daryl Hausch. Duchette? Is that how you say that guy's name? Duchette? U.S. flag football quarterback?
I've never heard of him drop.
On NFL players playing in the 28 Olympics, he said, I think it's disrespectful that they just automatically assume that they're able to just join the Olympic team because of the person that they are. They didn't help grow this game to get to the Olympics.
Okay. All right,
excuse
sir.
Me. Okay. Give the guys who helped this team get to where it's at their respect.
Nobody wants to watch you play, sir. They want to watch Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Justin Jefferson, all of these guys that we know on Sundays throw the ball around the yard. Thank you for your service. Move on.
Right. Yeah. And here we go. We got another guy that thinks he can do better things than athletes that are at the top of their game.
Like, I understand you're a flag football player and that's your world.
Right.
You're not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
And if we're going to grow the game, which is why I continue to push Major League Baseball to have real players in the Olympics, because people want to see the people.
Mm-hmm.
If you roll out flag football, and who's this guy again?
Daryl Hausch Dochette, I think is how you said. Yeah. No idea.
Are you tuning in to watch this guy?
No.
He's how old?
35 years old. He's 5'7", Bob. He's my height.
Yeah. No, I don't need to. I'm not going to watch that. But if you tell me I'm going to see a flag football game, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Xavier Worthy, Justin Jefferson, Kittle, Kelsey, and Christian McCaffrey are out there playing, you better believe I'm watching it. And I think, again, not to belabor a point that was 2 weeks old, I think the NBA grew because of the Olympics. More people are talking about that than I expected. The WNBA failed miserably. You had an opportunity to grow. You chose not to. Fine. The NFL and Major League Baseball, I don't care how big the NFL is right now or how big they think they are. You can always get bigger. You can always grow. You can always capture more. And the best way to capture more fans as a sport is to play with real people during the Olympics, because everybody's watching the Olympics. You roll out a team with who as your quarterback?
Never heard of him.
You're not going to get a lot of people to pay attention to that.
How tall did you say? How big?
5'7".
5'7". He's 35.
5'7".
That's right.
What was the guy? Honestly, what was the guy's name again? Mac McAnally?
Daryl Hausch Dougette or Douillette. I don't know.
So he's French.
Mm-hmm.
That's like horseradish.
Like that, like know your role, man. Mm-hmm. Like you are I didn't know there was a national flag football team or quarterback or whatever this guy is portraying himself as, but you can already tell how hurt he is because he's hearing all the noise. Mm-hmm. I've worked my whole life at this sport and you're just going to put Patrick Mahomes in? Yes, we are. And then you got to pull out and stick it in again.
Talk to Greg Olson about working your ass off and losing your job. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure at one point he realized, like, oh, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's, oh, okay. Okay. How tall is Tom Brady? Not.
5'7".
How tall is Daryl Hausch Dochette?
5'7".
How many good comments does he have?
That's like horseradish.
Mm. What's wrong with people? Like, look.
Well, that's an open-ended question that we could debate for hours.
I think that it's interesting because look, I know that as somebody that does sports radio who has done, like Chris Mad Dog Russo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he was in Kansas City and I had a really good take to take and we came back from break and he said, you know what? I've got something I got to bring up. Let me have it. You think I'm going to go to him and be like, why don't you give guys like me a chance to do it? No. I'm going to be like, go ahead, have your take, and then I'll come back on the other side and talk about it. This guy being a professional flag football player might be really good at flag football. Might have a lot of cool trick plays in flag football. Guess who's really good at football? Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Guess who's going to probably get picked as a receiver over Daryl Hausch Dochette? All of those guys. Yeah. Guess who's still going to get picked over him? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's not a shot at Clyde.
No.
But he's a second string running back that's not a superstar in the NFL, and he's still probably better than this guy playing football. Like, I just don't understand. Let's have, like Max says, or you said, let's have the best flag football team in the frickin' States of the United play against a team put together by NFL players and see what the final score is.
Well, the problem is if the United States doesn't roll out their best and the other countries do, and then we get beat, we're going to sit there and go, why didn't we roll out our best? How do we get beat in really the only sport that really is an American sport, right? Every other sport is worldwide. Baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer. All of these sports are worldwide sports. Football is not a worldwide sport. It is a United States sport. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to have football in some level in the Olympics, you got to use the best players that we have to offer. Again, it was such a great success for the NBA.
Great success.
Great success. What is this? Cheese?
Cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And what is this?
Cheese.
And how you say this?
Cheese.
And this is?
Butter.
So how do you not put your best out there. Like, I feel bad for the guy. Enjoy your 5 minutes. But, man, when the Olympics rolls around, we're playing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, we already saw the United States whiff on this opportunity with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese not making the team.
Exactly.
You're not playing football. Look, it's fine. You might be a great person. You might, you know, only be
5'7".
And you might have comments that are...
That's like horseradish.
But the thing about it is that you just got to know your lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure there's a professional men's baseball league. There are probably good players out there. Guess who's not going to represent the Olympics when the baseball league goes?
Well, we hope not if Major League Baseball does it the right way.
It's still fine.
Which I think they might be. But, I mean, like, I don't need minor leaguers in that. No, I don't.
Not at all.
I think the players want to play, too.
Just know your lane.
I think all other athletes that are in professional sports in the United States were captivated like we were by the basketball team. How could you have not been? Like, don't you think Patrick Mahomes is sitting around going, damn, I'd love to play for Team USA? Or Bobby Witt Jr. sitting around going, man, I'd love to play for Team USA. That's cool. You heard baseball players saying that immediately. I'm sure football players are like, yeah, where do I sign up for this? I want to go represent our country and play flag football.
Might as well. Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. Do you think the Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill race ever happens?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because Tyreek Hill is going to eventually have to race somebody. Because he wanted to race St. Bolt, didn't do it. Said he'd race Noah Lyles, may not do it. Tyreek Hill's got to race somebody. I'm just saying. You're going to keep saying that you're faster than these Olympic track stars. Mm-hmm. You better start.
He's saying Noah Lyles needs to sign the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whenever he can get there.
If you're the Dolphins, would you let him race?
Yes. You already let him race in the sheets.
That's true. More injury could happen, though, with Noah Lyles, I would think.
I don't know. I've been injured during sex. Got a cramp.
That's not injured.
Hell, it's not. You ever had a thigh cramp in the middle of, you know?
No.
I don't recommend it. I've had some.
You're lying.
I've had some hangover or some dehydrated mornings the next morning.
Seriously,
I was like, hey, you know,
that's what it is.
I must be doing it right. or I'm doing it completely wrong. But I know that we're doing it right here on 96.5 The Fan with Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Lag. As we come back, we get back into your Royals. We get back into what Bill Belichick said. For the first time in your life, you're going to love what Bill Belichick had to say about your Chiefs. And, well, honestly, Jim Harbaugh is just a weirdo. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
We continue on from the Kirk Cousins playlist.
Is this on the playlist? No, this is Al City.
I deviated.
He doesn't have Al City on his playlist, which is smart because neither do I. But that's okay. This seems like it was probably a Mac Morey banger back in the day.
Are you kidding me? Brioche, dude.
Brioche. Get used to brioche. People that don't get it, you will soon. Football season's 2 weeks away. We'll get back into our...
2 weeks from Thursday, huh?
Yeah, Thursday.
You think the Chiefs are ready to defend their crown? 913-586-7965. Weigh in. Seriously, weigh in. If you think the Chiefs are ready to defend their crown, call us now. If nobody calls, then that means they're not ready.
Somebody had asked... on the text line during the break, before we get back into some Royals conversation that we can have, because I want to play what Seth Lugo had to say about Bobby Witt Jr., but somebody had asked how tall Tyreek Hill is.
5'7".
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
What do you think he's going to do this year?
Go off. I was playing golf with a buddy of mine on Friday, and I asked him what pick he had, and he's like, I have the number 2 pick. I said, ooh. So you're going to take Justin Jefferson, or you're going to take Christian McCaffrey? He said, nope. I'm going to take Tyreek Hill. And I told a lot of people, I said, I wouldn't be mad if he took Tyreek Hill first overall. He's just going to get a ton of targets. He's going to put up a ton of yards. And this is probably the last greatest year we get of Tyreek Hill.
It's coming to an end soon.
Eventually.
And it happens overnight. Like, there's no ramp up for when somebody's going to fall off. Right. It just happens.
And I think that...
do you think Tua's got a lot to prove this year, A, with the contract, and B, with the Brian Flores stuff?
I don't think he has a lot to prove. I just think that he's going to be that much better than he was last year because now he knows. I think he is an intelligent, smart quarterback, and I think he knows where he needs to put it, and he's got a dual-headed running back, kind of rotation with Achane and Mostert. You have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and you have a guy that's an offensive wizard in Mike McDaniels.
How are they going to be on defense?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
A lot of guys coming back from injury. Their front four is coming back. Jalen Phillips, those guys.
We'll see. You know, we'll see what they can do. You know, usually got to take it in baby steps, right? Their baby step last year was making it to the playoffs. Then they had to come up here and play. Maybe they do better this year. I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of Miami. It's a wild card for me. The AFC East is a total wild card, though, too.
Yeah. Sure.
Because the Jets could be good. They could also be the world's greatest dumpster fire.
Right.
The Buffalo Bills, I think, will probably be decent, but that could go south.
Yeah.
So, be interesting. That's a fun division to watch this year. Everybody but New England.
Yeah, I don't really care about the AFC East. That doesn't really matter. Somebody's going to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and it's probably going to be somebody from the North. Royals win last night. I thought it was interesting. Seth Lugo joined MLB Network at the end of the game and did a quick little interview. This is what he had to say about Bobby Witt Jr.
Hey, it's hard to say. I mean, the at-bats he puts up, the way he swings it, I mean, every hit he gets, it's like 111 off the bat. I mean, that's a soft one. But he does it every day. It doesn't matter who's pitching, where they're pitching him, in the zone, out of the zone. I mean, he's the best player I've ever seen.
Best player he's ever seen. I thought that was interesting because we'll talk about the Royals. We'll parlay into Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh. It'll make sense when we put it all together. But it's crazy when you hear people like Seth Lugo. Maybe it's not crazy, but it's eye-opening to me that Seth Lugo, you know, probably grew up watching Ken Griffey Jr. Not probably, did. Seen Mike Trout play for about 5 years. Seen Bryce Harper play. See Aaron Judge play. See Shohei Ohtani play. And the best player he's ever seen is Bobby Witt Jr. And I thought about this last night. There is a way for Bobby Witt Jr. to win the MVP award this year. He's got to take away a three-game deficit lead at the top record in the base and all of in the American League. If the Royals win the American League, which is not a far stretch cry,
not at all.
They're three games out. New York plays Cleveland right now, so I really don't know who we're rooting for. I guess New York, because if you keep winning and New York can beat Cleveland, you narrow the gap in your division. Then when you play New York and you beat them, you can then hopefully beat them. You can jump them at that time period because the riptide's coming. But the best part about Bobby Witt Jr. hearing that from Seth Lugo is that have we gotten to the point where we're out of local bias about Bobby Witt Jr.? Is it now a point where when the Royals go to random town, you know, let's say the Royals go to Houston, what's the one thing the fan base is going to talk about when the dad and sons are walking in, or the group of bros are walking in, or the guy and his lady are walking in, and it's, so the Royals, right? Can't say they're pretty good this year. Yeah, why are they good? What's the first thing everybody says? Well, they got Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
And we've known it was coming for about a year and a half. But the home run derby put him over the hump. And then this year's production is done. He's hitting 349, I think 25 home runs. He's going to have a zillion doubles, you know, more than two handfuls of triples. Going to have 100 RBI. Going to have 30 stolen bases. Going to put together the most complete season, I think, any Royals baseball player has ever had from an all-round, whatever you want to call it. And some people might say, oh, George Brett. He's already gotten 500 hits. In just over 2 years, he's a certified G and a bona fide stud at the position of shortstop and the second hitter, plays every day, and if the Royals can win the AL's top spot, get a first-round bye, there's no question that he was then the most valuable player to his team, even though Aaron Judge might hit 330, 55 home runs, have 155 RBI. Still, to me, you didn't win your division. You didn't win the league, or maybe you did win your division, but you weren't the best team in the AL. And if you're going to have a tiebreaker, that seems like a tiebreaker that the Royals were the best team in the AL. That means the most valuable player to their team was Bobby Witt Jr. more than Aaron Judge. And, oh, by the way, you could parlay that to the manager of the year goes to Kansas City Royals as well.
I think when you ask if Bobby Witt, you know, is recognized by, you know, other fan bases around the sport. I think that's so much harder to have take off in baseball than it is in football, or even in the NBA for that matter, because I still think, as it all boils down to, baseball is a provincial sport and nobody really pays attention to anything that's going on in the game outside of their own team, right? Maybe an appearance on Sunday Night Baseball here or there or whatnot can grab some attention. I think it takes longer for a player like Bobby Witt Jr. to become nationally known in baseball than it would for Patrick Mahomes in football. Like, if we were having this conversation about Patrick Mahomes after that first game that he played against the Chargers in that soccer stadium, everybody would tell you who Patrick Mahomes is and knows everything about Patrick Mahomes. I just think baseball lends itself to being tougher for somebody to become a superstar in the sport that isn't on your team. And for Seth Lugo to say that he's the best player that he's ever seen, I could hear the old seam heads kind of rolling their eyes, and you didn't see this, right? He said the best player he's ever seen, mm-hmm. right? Just because Seth Lugo didn't watch DiMaggio play doesn't make his opinion any different than somebody who did see Joe DiMaggio play or Babe Ruth or whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
Like, so you're talking about the best player that you've ever seen. Look, George Brett was a phenomenal baseball player, maybe the best baseball player I've ever seen. You use Mike Trout as an example. I mean, I'm told Mike Trout is really, really good. He's like an Aaron Rodgers guy to me. Just mm-hmm. doesn't ever really resonate because there hasn't been a whole lot of success on the national stage in the postseason when it matters the most. Bobby Witt Jr.'s determination of how great a baseball player he's going to be is all going to be predicated on what he's able to do in the postseason. And that's when true superstars are made. It's like we talked about last week. Not important for the Royals to make the playoffs. It's important for Bobby Witt to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So the national scene can see Bobby Witt Jr. take over like we've watched him do every single day here in Kansas City.
Right.
And I know Bobby Witt is a big name because we're at the game last night and my 13-year-old says to me, when is Bobby Witt going to hit? You know, and she don't watch baseball to save her life, right? Like, but she knew, hey, when's Bobby Witt gonna hit? I'm like, well, he's on second base right now. So you totally missed that. You weren't paying attention.
In about an hour.
Yeah, right. About another hour from now. Well, now with the pace of game,
30 minutes
from now, he'll be up. But so that's how I know that Bobby Witt has resonated. A 13-year-old daughter, my daughter, knows who Bobby Witt Jr. is.
Good.
And I think that's a big kind of leap to know this guy is a superstar. He's huge here in Kansas City. But if he gets on the national stage and gets into the postseason and performs well in the playoffs, that's when Bobby Witt takes that next jump. And that's when he's in the conversation year in and year out perennially as the MVP of this league. That's why the postseason is so important for Bobby Witt this year.
I think it's important because how important it is for the franchise. So hear me out. Bobby Witt Jr., yes, the MVP of the league, in my opinion. And that this is like maybe the start of his reign as the number one player in baseball, right? Like last year, it might have been Ronald Acuna
mm-hmm.
slash Aaron Judge slash Shohei Ohtani, however you want to rank him. But this year has been a year where, like, I'm sure since he's a Kansas City Royal,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people outside of the metro area that are like, oh, just give it time and he'll come down to earth. He ain't coming down to
earth. Why would you think, like, what in the track record of Bobby Witt Jr. tells you he's going to come down to earth? This guy has dominated from the first pitch of the season. Like, he hasn't had a slump
this year. And that's the thing that's crazy is that, like,
like, he hasn't gone for, like, 0 for 10.
But I feel like people literally would be like, well, Kansas City Royals, you know, they're, you know, small market. Yeah, this kid's good. He's not going to hit 350 all year. No, he might.
He might.
And I think that's what's better for it, too. And then, like, when you put a face of baseball on a face of a team, like, I go back to Steph Curry. Nobody liked the Golden State Warriors. No one knew where the Golden State Warriors played. All they knew is they had terrible jerseys. And then all of a
sudden, they really did have some of the worst.
They were burnt orange and blue, like yeah. Navy.
As good as the A's are and the Raiders were, the yeah. Warriors brought that city down from a uniform standpoint.
And nobody knew it. And then for about 4 years, Steph Curry was the face of the NBA. I know LeBron James was still there, and you know, Kobe was still kind of around.
Don't Rant was there.
But Steph Curry did something that, you know, a lot of people said a lot of similarities to Bobby Witt Jr., right? Like, oh, well, Steph Curry's not going to be able to hit threes all the time. Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to keep hitting
home
runs.
Hang on a second. Let me just interrupt you real quick. Why do people do that? Why do people always say it can't happen, instead of embracing like the magic that we're seeing.
Because
right?
those people that say it can't happen are more often right than the people that say it can.
I would rather be wrong and sit here and say this is going to happen with Bobby Witt Jr. and enjoy what we're watching,
sure.
as opposed to being one of these people who's waiting for the other shoe to fall. Like, life's too short to think about that kind of stuff. And so as I've gotten older, it's less about, oh, this has got to be a hot take. You got to have something profound. Why can't we just sit here and recognize the obvious and say, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this until it doesn't happen anymore. Because these are the same conversations they were having about Patrick Mahomes. Oh, it's not going to last. And 1 year in an offseason, defenses are going to figure him out. You mentioned Steph Curry. Aaron Judge, people said the same thing about. Like, I think for whatever reason, sports fans are afraid to embrace greatness and enjoy the moment. They'd rather sit back and say why things can happen instead of saying, you know what? This is really special. This is really awesome right now. I'm loving what I'm watching right now. Like, why is the sports fan like that? Why are you the way that you are?
Because it's easier to be right when it's against it than it is when it normally isn't. You just haven't seen guys have this much success like Bobby Witt Jr. And who
Which
knows?
Tells me like you should be appreciating it more and embracing it more, because what Bobby Witt is doing right now is rarefied air.
Well, how many people you think in the first 2 years of Mahomes' play where he's like, well, he won't be able to keep this sort
everybody.
Of thing up. And now look at him.
Yeah. That'd but be, are people still looking at Patrick Mahomes going, well, you know, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. You know, like I think all those conversations are done, right?
The only conversation they're gonna have is, well, let's see what he does without Travis Kelce. Well, they still have Travis Kelce and they're going for a three-peat, and one of the better coaches in the league that everybody used to hate. It's telling you why it's okay to believe.
Well, I think it's two messages, really. One is starting all over again, rebuilding everything, starting at the base, you know, and putting the stacking days together and weeks together in training camp on your fundamentals and, you know, building those pillars that give you strength to get you through a long regular season and postseason, particularly in the fundamentals. So it's starting over, but it's also finding a new way to win. And each year is a different year. Even if you have some of the same players, there's always some differences, whether it's your opponents or the circumstances that you go through during the course of the year. That varies from year to year. So we'll see what Kansas City's challenges are this year, whether it's a fast start and maybe they'll dip in there or vice versa. I mean, who knows? But it'll be there.
If you're Andy Reid, hear me out on this one.
By the way, that audio, Pat McAfee show, Bill Belichick talking about Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, the Chiefs, the three-peat. You know, he's the last coach to have that opportunity, right? Hear me out on this one. If you're Andy Reid, would you hire Bill Belichick as a consultant each week to say, give me a quick scout on my team? Because I still think, from a defensive standpoint, nobody did it better than Bill Belichick, right? He was fantastic. And he always knew how to beat the other team from a defensive standpoint by taking their best player out of the game. And the reason I would hire him is because a lot of times people outside, like your nucleus of people, your organization, they see things differently. They may see something that you didn't see. And Bill Belichick did a great job over the years against Andy Reid of like seeing things that maybe Andy didn't see, taking their best player out, all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't mind having Bill Belichick on speed dial and picking his brain every once in a while and saying, what do you think about this? What do you think here? What do you think this team is going to try to do against us? That way you're kind of counteracting that. I think it could be a valuable type of move. Yeah. I'm not saying bring him in as a coach, but just as a consultant that you can pick the brain of. And those two guys have a great relationship as well, Belichick and Andy Reid do. I think that could be like one of the greatest matches made in heaven. And we get to the Super Bowl and they go, what did you do differently this year? He goes, I paid Bill Belichick a couple of bucks to break down our tape every week and tell me what other teams would be looking at.
Great. Now we're going to be linked to cheaters.
Who cares?
Told you they cheated.
Yeah.
No, I think, I mean, it's true though. I mean, Andy Reid's what? One of the only coaches to go to the Super Bowl with an AFC and an NFC team, or maybe he is the only one. Maybe I'm not doing enough research on
only
that.
Only one.
Mm-hmm. He's been to four AFC championship games and four NFC championship games.
He's been a lot more AFC championship games, right?
Yeah, we're six in a row.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying for both leagues.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
he's won Coach of the Year once.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Which is a stupid award. I mean, it's just like, so I just think you hire Bill Belichick. He mentioned new ways to win, and I think that's what last year was all about. Like, last year was a definite new way to win. Like, that was not what we were used to. It was not what Patrick was used to. It was not what Andy was used to. They found a new way to win. I don't think this year it's about finding a quote-unquote new way to win. It's capturing what you did last year and knowing you can win that way, and now coupling it back with deep threats, with speed that you didn't have last year, that you could take the top off of a defense. So to me, this year's offense is combining the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
The best of what you did last year when you struggled, allegedly, versus what you did when you were having all kinds of fun and airing it out. Blend those together. And I guess that is a quote-unquote different way to win. But I'll be honest with you, man. I don't think they need to find a different way to win. They just need to blend all of the things together, and they're going to be an unstoppable force this year.
Let me ask you five questions about five different individuals, because according to SpotTrack, recently calculated NFL contract valuations. You ready for this? I want to see if you'll smash or pass, which we normally do on Friday with food, which, by the way, we have got to get together and make that hot dog. I will host, I promise. Okay, recently calculated NFL contract valuations, according to SpotTrack, Dak Prescott, 4 years, $220 million. Bob Fesco, yes or no?
Say that again.
4 years, $220 million. Dak Prescott.
No.
Mac?
Smashing.
Okay. Brock Purdy, 4 years, $208 million. Mac Morey.
Passing.
Pass.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb, 4 years, $136 million. Bob Fesco.
Pass.
Smash. Okay. Smash.
Smart GM over here, I guess. Brandon Ayuk, four years.
I follow my leader, Brett Veach.
4 years, $110 million for Brandon Ayuk, Mac.
Smash.
Pass.
And Ja'Marr Chase, 3 years, $93 million. Bob Fesco.
That's a little more doable.
Okay.
But I would still come down a little bit on that.
$90 million?
Give me 3 for $75.
Okay. Price is right.
Yeah, so pass is what he's saying. Yeah, smash.
You pass on everything.
I do, yeah. I mean,
you smash on everything?
But Brock Purdy, and I might still smash that, yeah.
Ugh. I think I'm giving Ja'Marr Chase 3 for $93. What?
Like, of all of those, I've lost it.
Okay.
Of all of those, like, Ja'Marr Chase is the one that I would noodle on the most, but the rest, I'm like, man, I just watch the way Brett does things. Like, how do you just not follow everything that this GM who's going for a three-peat has done?
I get that.
You'd never get stuck in a bad contract. You pay the guys that are your quarterback, you pay your defensive leader, and you pay Travis Kelce, and then you figure it out the rest of the way, and you rely on those veterans to lead the way and make everybody better.
Before we dominate the rest of the show with a lot of Royals talk and college football stuff here as we're approaching the 9 o'clock hour. This show is really.
What do you think Purdy's going to get?
What?
Like, do you think he's going to get paid?
Yes, I think he's going to get like Justin Herbert money.
The question is, will he get paid by San Francisco?
Well, I meant to say that. Yeah. Do you think? I mean,
yeah, because he works their system well.
Yeah, but everyone's. You know, Shanahan made Nick Mullins look good for 7 weeks. He makes
which is
Beathard
why if you're
good.
Purdy, you sign with San Francisco.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He also took Garoppolo to a
Yeah,
exactly.
Because, I mean, you could be, you know, back in the day, Scott Mitchell going to the Lions and going, oh, my God, this guy stinks. Like, a lot of quarterbacks are products of the system, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I hate that term system quarterback. You could make the case that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are a system, and like everything's a system, right? Mm. Would Patrick Mahomes be good other places? No question. Would be as good as Andy Reid? No, he would not be as good as if Andy Reid was not with him from the start. And I think Patrick would tell you that. Like, think about if Patrick got drafted, you know, by the Giants, and they had that guy whose suit didn't fit when he was hired as head coach that one year, who was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, and then they switched over to another guy. Now they're at the ball. Like, if Patrick Mahomes is on his third, nobody has success with something like that. So I think Brock Purdy, from a longevity standpoint, would probably be smart to take an offer from San Francisco because it works out there. Because I don't know that Brock Purdy has success anymore.
Coming up on the other side, we'll dive into a college football topic that I find a little bit interesting because it has to do with favorites and odds and two teams that maybe three teams that all could have it. Plus, I think I'm going to make Bob Fesco's day. When we come right back, when we get into our generational gap of us three, Mac Morey in his 20s, Dusty Likens in his 30s, Bob Fesco in his 40s. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Good Charlotte. It's a new day. On 96.5 The Fan, we have been told, we have been informed, the text line is ready for you to chime into. 913-586-7965. That's the number. 913-586-7965. Get rid of
Miles
the old
one. Miles has got it.
He knew that was coming. And it brings up a good question because I want to try to make Bob Fesco's day.
All right.
I always talk about how I try to bring up topics of generational and age difference. Right? Yesterday we had a talk show host die and Mac thought he was a rah-rah coach.
That's right. Football coach.
Donahue. Donahoe was a coach at Blue Springs
Kelly
High School.
Donahoe.
Yeah, now it's he's a trader and coaches at Rockhurst.
Would you have gone to Rockhurst?
No.
Really? For all that money?
Yep. The hell with it. Here's the deal.
More pressure at Rockhurst, I'll tell you. You better start winning at Rockhurst or they're going to run you out.
How about this, Bob Fesco? This is right up your alley. If it's not, then I'm a very bad poker player.
All right.
ESPN is going to be bringing back the sports reporters.
Ugh. Bunch of old men sitting around yelling about sports. That does not appeal to me. I'm sorry.
Sarcasm 101 via John Onrand of Puck News. ESPN is resurrecting the show. The goal was to, and still perhaps is to, have an episode ready in the next few weeks with Jeremy Schapp hosting and NFL play-by-play announcers, including Joe Buck and Al Michaels, serving on the panel.
Yeah, I don't know.
If slash when the show returns, it won't have a regular time slot. It'll just use the sports reporter's name for TV with elements posted on digital and social media.
I see. Again, so like with stuff like that, like you're using the original name, but you're not giving what it was. Change the name of the whole thing. You know, like old men yell at clouds. Is Costas part of this?
Who knows? I don't know what he's a part of.
I never really liked the sports reporters.
That was just sports writers arguing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why I built it up for Bob just to hate it.
Yeah. Like, did you guys like that? Like, I mean, people talk about it all the time. Like, oh, the sports reporters was so great. Like, Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe yelled at Dan Shaughnessy, and they screamed at Mike Lupica.
The sports reporters.
I'm like, meh.
Kind of sounds like we already have that on ESPN. I don't really.
Well, we do. We have a modern day version of that. It's called First Take.
Exactly. I don't really need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's the Stephen A. Smith show. And then, you know, they don't have his old people, but they got screamers on there. Stephen A. can yell with the best of them. And then he's got Mad Dog with him. I mean, that's a shouting match.
Mm-hmm. College football is ramping up. I believe we have a game this Saturday, if not a
first game of the year. We got Georgia Tech, I think, against Virginia Tech or Virginia Tech against somebody.
Oh, is that it?
I don't know who it is. I know. Binkley will text you here in 3, two, one. And sin.
I'm actually talking to Binkley.
Oh, ask him what the game is this weekend. Because I think it is an ACC battle, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that what you're putting your money in? You're putting your chips in the basket with that? Because I can tell you right now, yeah.
At Virginia Tech?
I've got it.
You got it? Yeah. I got Saturday, there's a boatload of games.
There's a lot of games.
There's a lot? I thought there was only one. I guess, well, I was just looking at the top 25. Yeah.
Florida State, Georgia Tech.
That's it. That's it. 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Montana State, New Mexico.
I mean, when those two schools get together, those record books go out the window.
SMU versus Nevada. So somebody probably getting drafted the Chiefs in the next few months in that game. Delaware State versus Hawaii.
Delaware State.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not good enough to be a fighting Blue Hen like Matt Nagy and Brett Veach, you go to Delaware State.
Which means...
Can you tell me the Delaware State mascot?
Negative.
Anybody?
Do you know what it is?
No.
I can tell you what it is.
What would be the Delaware? Let me just try to guess.
Okay.
Delaware State. It's the first state that's got a beach. I'm going to go with the
Think
the
of
beach.
Charlotte.
Bobcats?
Nope.
Hornets?
There you go.
Gotcha.
It's kind of a cool logo. It's like a really weird logo of like a hornet.
I kind of like that logo. Yeah.
So we should get some hats.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Let's adopt a team. Delaware State Hornets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Delaware State Hornets. That's an interesting one.
Their schedule is Hawaii, and then they play Sacred Heart.
Oh, well, I mean, Sacred Heart.
Do you want to guess what Sacred Heart's mascot is?
I'm going to guess.
Pioneers. Okay, you definitely had it.
I did not have the Pioneers. It was probably something else, and it was changed to Pioneers.
Right. There was a Binkley stat we're going to bring up here in a little bit that he sent me about Andy Reid. But speaking of college football, the odds are out for playoff, college football playoffs. Ohio State, leader of the pack. They're just always going to be great and just never win. Is that what they are? Sorry, Bob. I know that's your adopted college football team. -550
we
to
lose
minus
to Michigan this year. Day's getting out.
Yep. -750 is their odds to make the playoffs. Georgia -500 is now to -600. Penn State -150. You get into the pluses. Alabama +105. Clemson +180 with Sweeney. Utah +200. Colorado +1800. Jeez. And Nebraska has better odds than Colorado. They are +900.
We know this is just to make the playoff.
Right. Yeah.
Nebraska?
Yeah, +900.
Colorado?
I mean,
I guess these are just line movements. These aren't your favorites. No. You know, just big line movements on that one. I like the Nebraska-Colorado game. I think that's always fun when those two used to play. Big rivalry game there back in the day. I love what the college football playoff has done for this sport. Has there been like a better just like change in sport, like other than the pitch clock in baseball, to where we are with college football and the ability to have these kind of conversations where if you lose a marquee game early on in the season, like when Tennessee loses to Texas or something like that, like you're not immediately knocked out of the entire season. And I think college football finally got it right with that. Like they're like, well, we got to keep the regular season meaningful. It's become more meaningful because so many more teams now have an opportunity. Like how many fan bases for all intents and purposes would turn off the college football season if you're like Notre Dame and you lose week two to USC or something like that? Like your season's over at that point in time, right? You've checked out. Every fan base gets the ability to really stay alive and be part of this thing and have a selection Sunday. And this is a brilliant move by college football. I wish it would have been done 25 years ago, 30 years ago even, you know, because it's going to add so much, I think, to the regular season. People are going to be jockeying for position. They're going to be jockeying for seeding. They're going to be saying, hey, we still have an opportunity. We're still alive. Win a couple of games. Like all of that stuff that we talk about with the Chiefs and the Royals and professional sports is now at the collegiate ranks. Like I'm so excited for this college football season.
By the way, Missouri, thanks to our executive producer, Mac Morey, putting this in at last minute. Missouri +4,000 to win the national football title. K-State +8,000. Kansas +25,000.
That's a good bet.
And FanDuel has Colorado, Nebraska at +30,000 to win it all.
Wow.
Winner with the Heisman winner parlay. Alabama and Avery Johnson best odds at +3,000. By the way, Binkley doubled down on your money bet.
He did.
Told you who was going to play on Saturday, Georgia Tech and Florida State.
Yeah.
He also let us know it's from Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, that's right. It is in Ireland. Yeah, I did see that. That's the Ireland game. That's fun.
So, you know, that's like, God, that's got
to be. Is Binkley covering that game?
He should.
Yeah.
You know how many Guinnesses he could put down before a kick?
Yeah, a lot.
And how great he'd love to feel that moment out?
Ireland for football would be Binkley's like heaven.
It'd be my heaven.
Well, it's K-State and Iowa State next year in Dublin. Yeah. And I've already talked to some K-State fans who've already planned their trip. Like, if you're a K-State fan or even an Iowa State
or
fan,
affiliate.
I'm talking to you, Jake Jacobson, you need to get over there to Ireland and make this a trip, man. Like, this is going to be a good one next year for Iowa State, K-State, man. That's going to be a lot of fun.
What if you're a K-State affiliate that works at 96.5 The Fan?
Yeah, we're probably not going to get on that train. From the 913 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, I don't know if this text is from today or if it's from like the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. If you all haven't seen Nebraska's new stud freshman quarterback, you're missing out. Yeah, that text could be from any year over the last 25.
That's the Mahomes lookalike, the one that we talked about.
Oh, yeah,
that's
it. The Rayola kid.
That Rayola, Dylan Rayola, that's it. Yep.
Five-star recruit.
Yeah.
Should be pretty good.
But Nebraska every year has a superstar quarterback that's, oh, the guy at Nebraska is going to be so good. And then it's like they had that Martinez kid for 18 years.
He was rough.
Well, they had one and they had another one.
Yeah.
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 And they just ran the ball. And then they had a crouch and a crotch and a crawl.
Right.
That's
exactly.
A son-in-law
that's
reference.
Right.
Do you
yes.
get that reference from son-in-law Mac?
No. Got Eric Crouch, though.
Eric Crouch, yeah.
Tim Couch. Eric Crouch.
Right.
Crawl.
Wasn't there a Diana Crotch. Krall?
She's a great singer. Man.
Uh-oh. Mac texting the text line. Bob, the Vols aren't losing to the Horns. We are the real UT.
Yeah, I love it.
Rocky Top, baby.
Go.
Jaden, what's his name? Jalen Milton?
Yeah, Yeah.
No. He ought to be the starter in New England.
Then I'll watch Tennessee.
Then I'll watch some Patriots football. 913-586-7965. That's your text line. Royals win again. 5 straight. We give you more numbers. Bob and I, well, we had to sit down for a while last night because we both had a fun night. What it is all about, we'll explain what that is. Coming back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for sports radio. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.